Have you ever had the curiosity, or do you have the guts to release beneficial insects in your home? If you don't know what beneficial insects are, they are good bugs that eat the bad bugs that occasionally attack our houseplants. You might remember an amazing episode I did with Jamie from DMV Beneficials, where I interviewed her in our normal interview format, all about what beneficial insects are, why we use them, and how to use them. Well, a couple months ago, I was lucky enough to have Jamie and her co-founder of DMV Beneficials actually come to my house to release beneficial bugs all over my green wall. We originally were going to do this episode as a YouTube video only, but as we were doing the install, I thought, you know what? The conversation that Jamie and I are having as we are doing this install of these beneficial insects all in my green wall was really valuable for podcast listeners as well. So today I'm bringing you into my studio, into this beneficial bug consult and execution with the founder of DMV Beneficials, Jamie. And it is so fascinating, so fun, and a little different than what we normally do. So welcome.
Welcome to the Growing Joy with Plants podcast, where we not only learn how to care for plants successfully, but how to simply and affordably use our plant babies to cultivate more joy in our lives by doing so. I'm Maria, former plant killer turned happy plant lady, author of Growing Joy, The Plant Lover's Guide to Cultivating Happiness, speaker, podcaster, and most importantly, your new best plant friend. On Growing Joy with Plants, you'll find conversations about houseplant care, gardening tutorials, and wellness through the lens of plants.
Hi, plant friends. I'm so excited about today's episode. If you don't know me already, my name is Maria. I'm here to help you care for plants and grow joy successfully. You might hear my baby parakeets in the background. They are in studio with me today. And also, my voice is a little lower than it normally is because I am having terrible allergies. It's allergy season in Florida. So like I said, today's episode is a little bit different than it normally is because it's actually live audio from a live in-studio visit that Jamie, the head of DMV Beneficials, which is one of the leading resources and shops for beneficial insects in the United States. She came to my house and we released beneficial insects all over my green wall. It was amazing. I thought this was only going to be a video, and I don't like to encourage my podcast listeners to go watch the video on YouTube because you're coming here to listen as an audio listener. And frankly, I listen to podcasts. I don't watch podcasts on YouTube, so I understand. However, if I was ever to encourage you to go to the YouTube version of this after you listen to a podcast, it's going to be this episode because Jamie not only comes and I do a little bit of an interview with her about what we're releasing, but you're actually going to be able to watch me and Jamie release three different types of beneficial insects in different types of media on my green wall. And I just feel like the visual of this audio is going to be really helpful. If you listen to this episode and it sparks your interest and you might want to consider ordering some beneficials for your own, go watch the video. It's going to be linked in the show notes today. It's at Growing Joy with Maria on YouTube. And it's so freaking fascinating. Also, since Jamie came to visit, they now sell all of the beneficials that we talked about in our video. They sell them on their website at dmvbeneficialsbugshop.com. So when you are undoubtedly inspired by this conversation that we have, whether you listen to it today or whether you watch it, and you want to get some beneficials of your own, you can go and order through Jamie and support Jamie and her small business. She is so passionate about bringing beneficial insects to the masses. And obviously, you're going to learn more about that today. We also have her microscope linked because we have a big in-depth conversation about her microscope. But also, just so you know, so the format of what you're going to hear today is very different than the normal interview format that I'm asking people questions with the eye or the ear for the audio listener. You're going to have to kind of put your imaginations to the test. So Jamie comes over to my house. I have a green wall. We do this interview in front of the green wall where I ask her about herself and the bugs that we're releasing. And then she actually takes her microscope out, which is shockingly affordable. I suggest everyone grab one for themselves. And we go through my entire green wall with her microscope, which is connected to a phone. Via their phone, we can see the microscope and she diagnoses my different plants. She talks about the different plants. She talks about what plants attract different types of bugs and then what type of beneficial insect to treat for said bugs. And then she brought all the bugs to my house. So then we go from my green wall to a little table and we release all sorts of insects in my green wall. And then we also have an outdoor portion at the end of the episode. You'll hear my wind chimes in the background. You'll notice aurally like when we change scenery, but she brought lace wings in a hex cell. And I was too scared to release the lace wings in my office. So we went outside to release the lace wings. But you hear us, you hear me asking her all of these interesting questions about how, like best practices, how to release these bugs and these beneficial insects. And it was just so fascinating. So I hope you use your imaginations and you listen to this episode and you learn, you know, orally about beneficial insects, and then you go see what we actually do. I can't recommend Jamie and DMV Beneficials enough. Everything is linked in the show notes. Check her out, her personal page, DMV Beneficials, buy her bugs. At the time that I'm recording this episode, I'm moving in 3 days and I am moving my green wall. So I'm moving my green wall from my rental home to my new home that I've purchased. And I am planning on, once I get my green wall set up in my new home, buying another round of preventative beneficial insects. Like you'll hear the prescription for Jamie's preventative beneficial insects. You'll hear Jamie's prescription for that. And I'm actually going to go on their website, order the preventative set of beneficial insects and release them in my new office in case my plants catch any bugs in the move, or maybe even in my new house. So I want to start off fresh. So anyway, I hope you love this conversation as much as I do. I just adore Jamie and her mission. And without further ado, here is the beneficial insect consult on my green wall with Jamie from DMV Beneficials.
Welcome.
Oh, I'm so excited. Thank you for trekking to my house.
I'm so excited to be here. Love being here and so great to see the green wall. It's beautiful.
Oh my gosh. Our conversation about beneficials on the podcast was so amazing. You are so knowledgeable.
Thank you.
The download that we created that you were featured in has been downloaded hundreds of times. Pests are such a pain point for people. And I think something that our episode revealed is they don't need to be so much of a pain point if you preemptively manage your plants with beneficials.
Yeah.
So for anyone who hasn't listened to our amazing podcast episode, you should. But for those who don't know who you are, please, Jamie, introduce yourself and who and what DMV Beneficials is.
So hello, everyone. I'm so excited to be here with Maria. My name is Jamie, and I'm one of the co-founders of DMV Beneficials. And basically, DMV Beneficials is here to help you have less stress about pest management, to be able to grow plants in a way that gives you more ease and more joyfulness. And also, it's kind of fun. So using beneficial insects is a bit more fun, I think, than using traditional pesticides. And so DMV Beneficials is here to help you figure out how to do that effectively and with as less stress as possible. And so I'm here today to sort of walk Maria through what that process would look like, how we would sort of do a diagnostics of the plant wall and decide what beneficial insects are going to be right for her situation.
Yeah, I love this conversation about beneficials and how, you know, as plant parents, we try so much to replicate outdoors, indoors for our plants, whether it's using humidifiers, whether it's using grow lights like my plants are under. And in nature, plants and the pest attacks that they endure are protected by beneficial insects,
yep.
But we don't take that replication. We don't take that extra step.
Yep.
So I'm really curious. I got really curious after our conversation. For anyone watching who doesn't know what a beneficial insect is, can we have a quick definition?
For sure. Yeah. So beneficial insects are basically just predatory insects that are going to eat the pest insects on your plants. So we would select them sort of based on the pest that you're dealing with. There are predatory beneficial insects for thrips. There are beneficial insects for spider mites. And we can use that knowledge to make sure, like Maria is saying, that we can sort of replicate that natural balance to keep the pest insects at bay and keep your plants super healthy.
Good bugs to eat the bad bugs.
Good bugs for bad bugs.
Okay. Here's my green wall.
Yes.
We've got so many plants.
Yep.
And, you know, I'm pretty lucky I haven't. Well, I don't know if I'm lucky. The term ignorance is bliss. I'm ignorant. I try to not look too close at my plants often because I've had one really bad spider mite outbreak. I've had
Scale. I feel like Scale was my first pet. You might hear Frankie, my bird, tweeting in the background. Mm-hmm. Scale was my first pet before I got Frankie.
He's like, I'm the second. I'm the second pet.
But I haven't had like tremendous outbreaks of pests before, but I'm curious to see. I know you brought a microscope, but we're going to find anything today.
Yes.
So when you come and do diagnostics, like what does it look like?
Yep. So what you would do, so you're going to come in, you're going to look at all of the plants, right? And, you know, what's the sort of first impression? First impression to me is everything looks amazing. Everything's growing really well. The color of the foliage is super vibrant. So those are all sort of good first steps. Mm-hmm. But the first thing that I'm going to do is I'm going to ask you, the client, Maria, so what is your current pest management strategy look like other than ignorance is bliss? Do you use any pesticides? Do you do any sort of regular scoping or checks? What does your pest management process look like currently?
Yeah, it's like pretty non-existent.
Okay.
I'm interacting with these plants on a daily basis because this is actually my Zoom background. My desk is normally here. We moved it for this video. So because I'm seeing them, I feel like I'll do an occasional like under the leaf or like, you know, I clean the leaves and I clean the leaves, you know, wiping dust off. That's when I'm taking a look. But I'm not using pesticides. If I'm using anything, I'm using a neem oil and just to wipe my leaves. But I'm not proactive.
But see, that is actually pretty good.
Okay.
Something that I think a little bit of a misconception is that, you know, pesticides aren't necessarily good for prevention. It would be like taking antibiotics preventatively. It can lead to pesticide resistance. So what you're doing is actually best practice. So looking at the leaves, you know, making sure that everything is growing well, washing them off with just water, even a little bit of neem oil when you can. All of that is sort of great pest management and pest prevention strategies. The next question that I would ask and will ask is, have you had any pest issues on any of these plants before?
Not like noticeably, not like, whoa, spider mite outbreak. But the other day I saw a little spidey boy, like,
oh yeah,
not a mite, but it's like, I think it was a little spider. I mean, I live in Florida now.
Right.
We have little geckos there. We have all sorts of new creatures that I cannot identify yet.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like if anything, I've seen little spiders occasionally. But I haven't like had a fungus gnat issue or anything like super glaring.
Okay, that's good. Those are all pretty good. So based on that information, then what I would do next and what I will do is I'm going to do essentially a full diagnostic of Maria's plants.
Uh-huh.
And what that looks like is I'm going to look at each plant I'm assessing for a couple different things.
Okay.
One, regular growth. In general, your plants should grow regularly. They should put out new leaves at a pretty decent pace and they should not stop.
Okay.
So I'm going to look to make sure that every plant is kind of growing, that new leaves are coming out fairly regularly. I'm going to take a look at the foliage. It should be vibrant. So I'm going to be looking for any signs of pest damage. And then I'm also going to be using a microscope.
I love it, Hawaii.
To look for pests. And this, I cannot recommend this microscope enough, or any microscope really, because in general, pest insects can be really small and hard to see. Mm-hmm. And so even if I were to be looking at a leaf on this plant and seeing damage, the only way that I can confirm what that pest is, mm-hmm. especially if it's a pest mite, is to use the scope to confirm it. So you can, if you see damage, you can treat, you know, preventatively to say, okay, well, I see damage. It might be spider mites. I can treat for it. The scope is really going to give you the answer that you're looking for to say, okay, here is a spider mite or here is a spider mite egg. It's a really, really super helpful tool in terms of targeting your pest management to make sure that you're targeting the pests that you have rather than just sort of treating generally. So then I'll look at all of her plants with the scope and then we'll sort of go from there.
I have a little magnifying lens loop that has like a tiny, what's it called? A tiny little light on it.
Yeah.
Because the other thing I find with magnifying lenses is like to get under the leaves, it's also dark to get that light.
Exactly.
Really helpful.
Yeah.
Mine's like $10 I bought on Amazon.
Those are great.
What does this run you?
This is $29.99.
Well, Amazon. Yeah. That is only $30.
Yeah.
Okay.
Really, really cheap.
Link to it.
Yeah. And they can be a little challenging to use at first, but once you get the hang of it, really, really
easy. Figure it out.
Yeah. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I guess we should diagnose.
Yeah. Let's get started.
Okay. We've got the microscope. This is the app attached to the microscope. So we're going to be able to see here. I'm nervous. I'm excited.
Right.
I'm scared. I feel like I'm getting like I'm getting tested right now on my plants. So So tell me, how are we going to go through the diagnostic?
Yeah. So what we're going to do is when you're looking at any group of plants, I'm going to start by, you know, beginning to look at, okay, well, what are the basic pest stereotypes? Because some of these stereotypes are very true. So the one about alocasias having spider mites, I'm going to start with some of those.
Okay.
It's pretty common for alocasia to get spider mites. So we'll start with the alocasia to see if they have any spider mites or other pests. grass. Another common one to look for is philodendron, unfortunately, tend to be sort of magnets for thrips. So I'll be looking for those kind of hot spots. And then from there, we'll work our way out.
Just wow, so those aren't old wives' tales.
No, it's unfortunately true.
Interesting. Okay, yeah. Hit me up.
So we'll
allocate your cuprea.
Yeah. So overall, the cuprea looks good. You can see that it's putting out new leaves, especially the new foliage looks super vibrant.
Yeah.
This older one I'm seeing sort of right here looks like maybe old mite damage. It's kind of speckled there with leaf veins. But because the new leaves looked good, I'm not super worried. Okay. But I am going to sort of take a look, especially this old leaf, to see if I see any mites. So you set this on the thing, and then you can sort of see right there the little leaf cells.
Wow.
And I'm going to scope. I start along the leaf veins because that's where the pests tend to congregate. You can also see that's kind of where the damage is.
Mm-hmm.
So scoping those areas can be helpful starting there.
See, I've been really intentional about what I'm putting in my body, particularly when it comes to sugars and dyes and all the weird stuff that we find in packaged food. And I am so thankful that I have had Manucora Manuka honey in my back pocket for years now as my go-to sweetener for coffees, yogurts, and sometimes just as a little snack on a spoon. You've heard me talk about Manucora honey on this podcast because I use it in my coffee to make my brown sugar shaken espresso dupe. It is this rich, creamy, caramel tasting honey. It's unlike any honey you've ever tasted. Even just by looking at it, you know it's like so much better than your you know, grocery store honey bear. But it's not only delicious, it's ethically produced by Manukora's master beekeepers in the remote forests of New Zealand. And it has bioactives in it that have three times more antioxidants and prebiotics than regular honey. And these help support your cells and gut. And all you need is one heaping teaspoon each morning to get the most out of those bioactives. So if you've been hearing these ads for a while, because you know I've been loving Manucora for years, and you've been curious, now is a great time to try it. Head to manucora.com/bloom to save up to 31% on your first purchase. Plus, you get $25 worth of free gifts with the starter kit. It comes with the MGO 850+ Manuka honey jar. I've gone through so many of those. 5 honey travel sticks, which are amazing for vacations. A wooden spoon and a guidebook. So check it out at Manukora, MANUKORA.com/bloom to save 31% plus $25 worth of free gifts.
I also moved these plants 1,500 miles
New
York to Florida. So some of the older foliage has been through it. They've definitely gone through an adjustment period.
That makes sense.
And you're not scanning. You're holding it. You're putting the microscope on the leaf and you're waiting for it to focus.
The scanning can be a little challenging because of the focus. So okay. I like to pick certain spots. I like to hold it and then see. And sometimes when you hold it still, little mites will walk in front of the camera. So looking pretty good so far.
I'm like keeping my fingers crossed. No mites.
There was one small spot that I didn't necessarily. So do you see those?
The pink guys?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Some of those look concerning for eggs to me, but since that's the only thing I'm seeing, I'm not super worried.
And if they're eggs, it's good because we can ideally catch it with treatment before they multiply.
Yep. Yeah. That would mean it's a really...
I see it's more of those pinks.
Yeah. So you also want to try to get in a variety of old leaves and new leaves. Generally, if you're seeing damage on old leaves, it's likely normal. You know, it's just the leaf has served its purpose. It's dying off. So looking at the old leaves to see if there's any pests on those, as well as looking at the new leaves, is good to get a sort of whole picture. I always joke, too, that this is the way that you can tell if something is dust or pest mites. So I do. Those look like eggs to me. Also, you see those?
These red guys?
The white ones closer down to the corner. You see?
Those two.
Yeah.
Two. And how do you know if it's dust or if it's egg?
So dust almost looks like silica. It just looks harder than the eggs. And the eggs are usually perfectly, perfectly round. Whereas the dust can look kind of like jagged. But otherwise, everything else looks clear.
I'm not seeing
any living mites on here. And this is it. Because those do look like eggs, this also sort of points to the importance and the power of the regular rinsing that you do. It's just sort of keeping the pest population low, which is what you want. So that plant looks pretty good.
Do you want to look at this allocation over here?
Look at this one.
my older boy,
right?
He used to be very happy, but actually he's become less happy.
Maybe he has spiders.
So maybe he has spider mites.
So what I'm looking at here, you see all of this dust, speck, and debris. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to see, is this dust or are these eggs?
Is that an egg right there?
It does kind of look like it, doesn't it? Yeah. Those do look like eggs.
Wow. So is it safe to say that most people probably have some sort of pest?
Mm-hmm.
And like, if you were to ask me if I had pests, I would say no. Like I've told you, I don't really have pests.
Yep.
But actually, I do.
And that's where, you know, part of what we're trying to do with DMV Beneficials is to normalize that.
Right.
This is totally normal. Mm-hmm. And the things that you've been doing keep your plants healthy. What the beneficial insects can do is they can just help you. They're kind of like a tool to keep your plants healthy and to make sure that you don't have to do as much work. Because the beneficial insects will then go around and they will eat all of these little eggs and other spider mites that you might have sort of moving around down here. And I want to stress again that it is completely, completely normal.
Mm.
That it is more common than not to have these.
Some form of pest. Yeah. So how many consultations have you done at this point?
Oh my God.
When you're going to someone's house with your microscope?
In person, over 100, between 100 and 200 in the last year alone.
And what's the percentage of people who you find some sort of egg or pest?
85%.
Okay.
80.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a huge number.
Right. But to be fair, usually people are calling me because they think they have
a problem. Right. Okay. Got it.
But that's very, very, very common.
And so, yeah, you're starting at the rib, the midrib, and then moving your way out.
And then I'm looking at, I start on the front and I'm, again, sort of, you know, I'm not scanning the whole thing. I'm choosing locations, focusing, and then moving it. And then we'll check the back.
How did you learn all of this?
A lot of studying with other sort of pest management professionals. And it's like the more that you do it and the more that you see, the more you just get used to knowing what to look for. Okay, so we looked at the alocasia. I would say there's some evidence of minor spider mites.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to stress how minor it is.
Okay.
So with this, with that type of situation, I would rinse it off and then just do a preventative beneficial.
Right.
Day.
Amazing.
So now I want to look at the
philodendron. Yeah, he hasn't been as happy. So this is the same plant as that plant, the Atapapoense.
Yeah.
But he actually, oh, look, there's a little spidey boy on him right now.
Oh, look, I see.
Do you see that little?
Yeah, he just ran away.
But that's a little spider, right? That's not a pest.
Yes. Yeah, that's just a spider.
Yeah.
But you can see, and I wonder if we can see in the camera, the difference between the vibrancy.
Yeah.
So that is one of the early signs that, hey, maybe I should look a little closer at this plant because this plant's foliage should be this vibrant.
Yeah.
So starting with him to say, okay, because he's a philodendron, I'm going to do a little differently than the alocasia.
Okay.
Because thrips tend to like the new growth. So I would start with the new growth and we'll see, you know, what does it look like? The plus is that it does seem to be coming in undamaged, which is good. You can also see here, there is a spider living on it. This is a spider and not spider mites. Not only is the webbing a little bit thicker, but you can also see him. He's right there.
Yeah.
So he can stay.
He's a friendly guy.
Right. He's a friendly guy. He can stay there. I'm also looking for, in addition to like live thrips larvae or live thrips, I'm looking for evidence of dead ones.
And what does that look like?
They look like the live one, but a little more shriveled up, like a little skeleton.
Mm.
And the plus of the microscope too. So like we started our conversation being like, this plant looks stressed, you know, and what we're trying to do is figure out why is it stressed so that we can respond to it appropriately.
Mm-hmm.
So looking at it, I'm not seeing any pests on it. But that says to Maria, okay, well, maybe it just needs some fertilizer or, you know, a different environment. Maybe I'll try like moving it to a different spot.
Yeah.
So the scope helps not just to diagnose what is a pest issue, but what is not a pest
issue.
What is
not a pest issue. For my little magnifying loop, I've found so many times it's been dust and not a pest.
Yep.
So I've saved myself having to use a pesticide.
Exactly.
I've only used pesticides like twice, but I feel like that magnifying lens has really helped me for that purpose as well.
Mm-hmm.
Who is that?
So this surprise, oh, he's gone. This is a type of mite. You have a pest mite for sure. It could be a juvenile spider mite, but I lost it. So I need him to come back.
Hi, little guy.
Right. So there's definitely, I think, whatever is on the alocasia is on this philodendron too.
Well, they're in the same pot.
Right. So it makes sense.
But it's a larva, right?
No, it's just a mite.
It is a full mite.
Yeah. We call the younger ones just juvenile mites.
Now, I have a baby parakeet who lives in my office.
Mm-hmm.
The beneficials.
Mm-hmm.
they're not going to mess with him, right?
Oh,
they're
no.
not going to like jump into him with his feathers or anything.
Nope. They're actually much safer for him than any of the pesticide.
Interesting.
Yes. Because birds especially are very sensitive to different chemicals.
Yeah.
So
definitely. So yeah, like I don't even do essential oils in my office with Frankie.
Yep.
Who's that?
That's an egg. Oop, right there.
This one?
That also looks like a broad mite. Pretty sure that's a broad mite. So broad mites are a different type of mite species than spider mites. Also a pest mite, easily treatable with beneficials. But again, there's very few, so.
So one round of beneficials is going to wipe them out.
Yep.
That's him. And then is that one too?
Yep.
Okay, so he's a little friend.
Yeah. And you can see, so broad mites tend to be really quite stationary on the plant. You can see how still these guys are.
Not even trying to move.
Right. You can just see their little feet moving. Yeah. So again, the beneficials will be really good for that.
Now that pink philodendron never bounced back from arriving from the mail.
Yeah.
But I'm also curious, it's been struggling and has had almost no growth.
Yep. And the stress from the move can make plants more susceptible to pests. Because plants have their own sort of defenses against pests. And when they're stressed about something else, like moving, they don't have as much energy.
They become vectors. Yeah, that's the word people like to use. It's so cool to see each different leaf type, leaf under the microscope and how different it looks.
Mm-hmm. See, there's one right there.
This.
Up a little higher.
There. Yeah.
That's him.
That's the broad mite.
Yep.
So how did he get in here?
A million ways. The window, another plant, the soil, your clothes.
If I was outside, a microscopic broad mite mm-hmm. get on my clothes, come in and jump on my plant.
Yeah, I know. That's not great. It's not a great feeling.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. Check the back of this leaf. Very surprising that you have broad mites, but there's another one.
It's crazy that you can identify. They all, to me, look like little blurbs. Is that one right there?
Yeah. But like you were saying about the shape, you can tell the broad mites specifically because they look kind of elliptical. We're going to look at this guy. New growth. Good. So we'll see. We'll check for any other pests.
He might be dusty. I've not dusted him off in a while.
Man, you can see each cell.
Yeah.
This would be so fun with kiddos, too.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. Show it to my niece and nephew all the time. We look at the jeans and the sofa and the dog's hair. It's fun.
That one?
That's an egg.
Now, can you tell what type of egg it is?
Not usually. I would say spider mite egg. The broad mite egg specifically look like little sparkles. That one I would say is probably more of a spider mite egg. No thrips, though. That's good.
Thrilled. Knock on wood.
Right. I never joined it.
Wow. So thrips for philodendron, spider mites for alocasia. What are the other ones that people should be looking out for?
Broad mites is not a super common one,
okay.
But can be on pretty much any.
Well, I'm not a common gal,
right?
You know, my plants aren't common.
What we will do is we'll look at this Hoya for flat mites. Flat mites are becoming a bit more of an issue. They started, I would say, it's 2025, about 3 years ago, within the Hoya community was the first place that we saw them on houseplants.
Really?
But now they're moving into anthuriums. So if you're seeing mite damage without the associated webbing from spider mites, you're probably looking at a flat mite issue rather than a broad mite issue. Broad mites are less common. Flat mites are becoming more common, but they are really distinctive. They're bright, bright red. So we would see them.
Is the treatment for broad mites, flat mites, and spider mites different?
There are a variety of different predatory mites that will eat different species of pest mites. So depending on your budget, you can use one mite or you can use a combination of predatory mites to get a bunch of different pest mites. It just sort of depends on, you know, which you're kind of dealing with. So for flat mites, I'm starting on the Hoya at the back of the leaf, kind of right where the leaf meets the petiole. That's where you're going to find flat mites in particular. So because this is a Hoya, that's where I'm starting because I'm looking back in that area.
And again, like holding my breath this whole time, just being like, oh,
I'm sorry. But flat mites are super distinctive. So they would pop right up. And I don't see any signs of their damage on this plant.
Yeah. What are the signs?
You get like a gray scaling kind of on the backs of the leaves, as well as sort of like dark black marks. But this plant looks exceptionally healthy.
Cool.
So
it's a Hoya and it's very close to my grow light. And I feel like what people don't realize with Hoya is they love light.
Oh, yes.
And they're lower light tolerant, they won't grow as much, but I feel like most people are underlighting their Hoyas.
Yeah. And they look so beautiful when they're a bit sun-stressed.
So beautiful. Frankly, I just want blooms. I've never had a Hoya bloom.
Oh, really? Me neither.
I'm an underwaterer. I'm a low maintenance plant parent, so I will. Apparently, if you kind of shock them that way, that'll trigger them to bloom.
Really?
I'm trying.
Good to know. This plant looks great.
Amazing.
Yeah, I don't see any issues with him. We can go back where you came.
A+.
A+ for the Hoya.
A+ for me. Who else you want to look at?
I want to look at this fern.
Okay.
Because of the sort of dulling of the foliage, we're going to see, mm-hmm. you know, how he's doing.
That might just be because I've underwatered it once or twice.
Yes.
Been there. Let's take a look.
Okay.
This is also a Divana fern. So it's hard to differentiate what is the bluish mm-hmm. rabbit's foot fern cast that the leaves have and then what is dulling and what is me underwatering at one time.
So I'll also, if I see something suspicious, I'll move the leaf to see if it moves.
Mm.
So that red spot, I'm like, is that a flat mite or not?
Didn't move.
It didn't move. So I'm going to just sort of file that information away.
Okay.
And that's the other thing too that I like to stress. Like this should be, I mean, it's stressful, right? But it's a low stress process. And making sure that your stress level is low helps you be more present. Like, okay, I saw something. That's weird. I don't know what it is. Let me look more rather than sort of panicking at the first sign of, oh my gosh, maybe I have a pest. Being able to be like, well, let's see if I can figure this out can help you respond more efficiently.
Ooh, what's that?
That's dirt.
Okay.
I do keep...
Just realized I have dirt in my shirt from touching that one. Classic. Always dirt.
Yep.
Always dirt in the shirt.
So I've seen a few red spots on this fern that don't thrill me. But like we were saying, nothing that's moving.
Mm-hmm.
So what you can also do with beneficials is you can say, I don't like the look of that. I'm not sure.
I'll be preemptive
and I'll just put some beneficials on it. You know, you're not harming the plant with your treatment and you can take care of anything, you know, that's that low level. I think that's another broad mite. You see right there?
Yes, it's that perfect little, it looks like a seed.
Mm-hmm. It looks like a seed. Good. Exactly. And there's another one.
That one?
These more golden ones on the side. Yep.
Oh, yes. And they're a different color.
Yep.
Look at me with my rare rare bug infestation. So, broad mites. I'm so interesting.
So there's more on this one, which makes me think that this might be the starting point.
So this is where it came in.
Yep.
And the broad mites have moved throughout.
To some of the other plants.
So it sounds like we're predominantly going to treat for broad mites.
Yeah, that would be my recommendation.
Okay.
And then something else to know too, in terms of everyone's time and bandwidth, that when you're looking at all of the plants, you absolutely can, but you do not have to check every plant. If you don't have the time, you know, you can spot check either plants that look damaged or that are more likely to have pests like alocasia or philodendron. And then you can sort of go from there in terms of putting together your entire pest management plan.
Do ferns have a specific pest?
No.
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 Okay, sweet. And also you did a good job. Like we looked here on the green wall.
Yep.
We looked here on the green wall. We looked down and we looked up.
Yep.
So like you've gotten a proper vibe check.
Right. It's a vibe check, right? You want to, you know, look at keystone plants and then assess the health of the whole population through doing the keystone plants. And this can help, you know, so you don't feel so overwhelmed with like, I have to check every area of every plant. Like you're doing, that's a great phrase, a vibe check. You're doing a vibe check of the plant population and going through keystone plants to see, you know, how do things look? And then you can go from there.
Okay. You brought me bugs.
I did bring you bugs.
You brought me presents.
Yes.
Buggy presents.
Bug presents.
So why don't we do a little unboxing of those bugs and then maybe you could teach me how to put them in the wall?
Yep. Sounds great.
Okie dokie. Okay. So we're hitting it from below and from above. As below, so above, right? So where do we begin? How do we do this?
So we're going to start with Australolaps. This is the soil predator.
Okay.
I'm going to open the bag.
I don't have to be scared. Nobody's going to fly out at me.
Jump back.
Okay.
No, that'd be good. And then I recommend using a little scooper. About a quarter cup is usually good to sort of start with.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need the full quarter cup for each pot this size.
Okay.
But because there have been some pest issues in here, it's better to be safe than sorry. So
You'll
sort of, again, sort of shake out the substrate, try to get it all into the thing. If it falls out, it's not a big deal.
And then, can I touch it with my hands if I need to? Like, could I just...
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And then you're going to just sort of shake it onto the soil.
Look at that. And how much do you want the soil covered in the substrate? Do you want it sprinkled like a little fertilizer sprinkle? Like what are we going for?
So I tend to recommend somewhere between a tablespoon to a quarter cup per pot. You want to get enough of the substrate that you know you're definitely getting predators. So you don't need to pour it on there. It doesn't need to be thick, but just, you know, sort of a good amount, not a sprinkling, but not a pouring either. So somewhere in between there, between a tablespoon and a quarter cup.
And I don't have to water this. I don't have to do anything. They're just going to climb their way into the soil and do their thing.
They're probably already doing it.
Wow.
Yeah.
And so some of the soil isn't exposed. Is that okay? Are they going to travel from the substrate to the unexposed soil?
Yeah, they'll travel within the pot. They're not going to leave the pot though.
Okay.
So especially with the soil predator, these guys are only going to be in the pots that you put them in. They're not going to climb out of this pot and into the other pot. They will only be able to stay in this pot.
So we got to put this in every single pot.
In every pot.
Okay. We've completed as below. Now we move to so above. So we've got two different satchels that we're going to be doing.
Yep.
How do I do this in like the most aesthetic way possible?
Yeah. So there are a couple ways to do it. Generally hiding the sachet behind the foliage is going to be good for aesthetics, but also to make sure that the beneficials get to where they need to be, because you want them as close to the leaves as possible. So, you know, this is going to be the front of the plant. You can kind of hide it behind the leaf. So that it's not as visible. What you can also do, especially if your soil is dry, is I sometimes just stick the sachet down here.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
So it's not as visible.
So you just rest it on the soil?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So let's talk about the components of the sachet. So you have this.
Yep.
This is what you're snapping onto. So does this have to open?
It can, yeah.
Like a hanger.
Yeah, it's a hang tag.
This is a hang tag. So we're putting this on the stem.
Yeah.
When we're looking at the stem of the plant, do I want to put it here behind the leaf or do I want to put it here at the base?
You can put it wherever is easiest for the plant. If the leaf like can't support the sachet all the way up there easily, it's fine to have it be here. Again, you want the beneficial insects to be as close to the pest as possible without damaging the plant.
Because I like the idea of it being here too, because then this whole leaf is going to hide the back.
Yeah, exactly.
But this one that's bigger might not be able to support because it's a heavier bag.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. And so with these, especially these bigger ones, these are the ones I tend to just sort of lean against the plant.
Mm-hmm.
Again, best practice is to get the beneficials as close to the pests as possible.
Mm-hmm.
But we do have real logistic concerns with how we do that. So, you know, this sachet, the beneficials will make it there, even if you lie it down.
And if I wanted to, so realistically, when this is hanging on the wall, the plants are kind of tumbling out of this.
Yeah.
So for aesthetic purposes, could I kind of lay this under the lip?
Mm-hmm.
Because then when they lean, it's going to be right there.
Yep. And just make sure the hole is facing up. I think we want to be this way.
Make sure the hole. Okay, this is important. So all of the flies come out of this hole. All of the mites.
Yeah.
And I just put the hole down so the mites would have nowhere to go. So it's very important to flip the hole up so the mites can fly out.
Yeah.
Okay. And then how many of these do you do per pot, per green wall?
So because you have a combination of pest affected versus non-pest affected plants.
There's some guy.
Some
guy's going in there. Was it one of those things?
It looks like it.
It already came out. Oh, this is so exciting.
Yes.
Okay, cool.
So you're going to want to make sure that the plants that we saw pests on definitely get sachets. But the general rule of thumb for preventative maintenance, and what we're going to kind of follow here, is one sachet for every 3 plants.
Oh, okay.
And move the sachets around every couple of days. So say, you know, we put it on this plant today. Tomorrow you get up, you're like, nah, and then you can put it over here so that these plants get some.
As you said, for 4 weeks, there are going to be bugs hatching, coming out.
Yep.
So I could do 1 week here and then move it 1 week. The next new bugs are going to hatch and come out over and over and over again.
Yeah.
Dang, this is fascinating.
Yes.
Okay.
So, but definitely for the plants that are affected by the broad mites that we saw, I would definitely give them at least one sachet of each. We might want to, if we have enough, do 2 sachets of the Cucumeris because that's the broad mite targeted one. This one we only saw a few broad mites on, but you know, for example,
I was just going to say, why don't we do the fern next? Because while we're close up and I'm able to ask you questions before we just like fix the rest of the wall.
Yeah.
And the fern actually is not in. Oh my God, she's so dry. I'm sorry, buddy. I need to water you. I'm in a real underwatering phase in my life. Yep. So with a fern, where the heck am I putting these sachets?
So
we're going to treat both, right? We're going to treat below and above.
Yep. So you want to do the honors?
I would love to. Okay. So we're doing quarter cup.
Yep. Sprinkle it on there.
Sprinkling it on. This is a rabbit's foot fern, so there are rabbit's feet all over the place.
That's really good.
This is enough that I'm just kind of popping it everywhere.
Yeah, that's perfect.
Okay.
And then we're going to take our sachet. And you can see how, like, we can kind of hide it in there, right? So I'm just going to slide the sachet right there in the middle.
And that's it.
Mm-hmm.
And the hole is exposed on this side.
Yep.
So then maybe we expose the little hole on this side.
Yep.
We make it like Charlie's Angels, where there's a hole this way and a hole that way.
Yep.
Okay. Where's my hole? Here it is.
It is.
So do I just, I'm going to Charlie's Angel them. So we have holes coming out that side and holes coming out that side.
Yep.
Boom. Now, if I wanted to with the fern,
mm-hmm.
could I go ahead and hang it?
For sure. Yep.
Because I felt like it was the way that this plant hangs too. I felt like when you were doing it, it was like the lower one. So I almost want to put one like here.
Yeah. See, that's exactly right. And then we can put this one down here. So it's closer to those ones.
And you're not going to see it.
You're not going to see it.
Wow, that's so cool. And boom, we're treated. And the beauty of this is too, now I just let the mites do their thing. Like I don't have to go clean every single leaf. I don't have to like do a drench.
Nope. They're just doing their thing.
What's another one that is like an interesting, are there hard, let's do the Hoya because now I'm just trying to think about the different types of leaves that might be interesting.
Yep.
So even though my Hoya is perfect and we saw no issues with
still
it.
Still needs prevention.
Still needs prevention.
Right. So get your soil predator. On you go.
Sprinkle, sprinkle, sprinkle. And then I'm going to get in there with my hands and sprinkle it around.
And then because this is a Hoya, we want to make sure to treat preventatively for flat mites. So we have our Californicus.
Okay.
Flat mites. Slide in there.
I love that you're not even really using the hang tag. You're just popping them in.
No. Because a lot of houseplants too, they don't have the strings to fold it.
Yeah.
So just sliding them in works pretty well. And then it's fine. All spaced out.
So we're literally just Charlie's Angeling them the entire time.
Yep.
I love this. Okay, should we do one more?
Let's look at this one. Because where the hang tag is going to come in really handy is especially with tall plants.
I need to propagate him. He's insane right now. Okay, so
start with our
soil.
And then the beneficial mites in the sachets, they can move around pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
But if we were to just do what we've been doing with the other plants, which is laying the sachet kind of at the base, it is going to be really difficult for them to get from here to So that's where the hang tag is going to come in handy because you can hang it up closer to the top. Yes, with tall plants, you really should make sure to do that to make sure that you're getting pest management throughout the length of the plant.
With a plant that's tall, do I need to do a satchel per foot of a plant?
Every 6 inches is helpful.
Okay.
So this is a good height because now you've got it sort of in between the whole plant and they should be able to make it up there. You could, if you wanted, because of the height that this plant is, you could do two. So you could do one here
and then one higher up.
Way, way up here.
Mm-hmm. Love. Okay, but realistically, I'm going to prune this anyway and then probably put it back in the planters. So, lace wings.
Yes.
The spooky one.
Yes. For those of you who feel brave enough to try lace wings, which are good generalist predators for a variety of pests.
Yes.
There are two different ways that you can choose to apply them.
Okay.
One is easier than the other.
Okay.
The bottle's going to be your more straightforward application. They come in the substrate and generally, you can see them in there.
They have a little crawly guys crawling around. You have to shake it up before you...
You can. Don't shake it, but you can sort of rotate it gently to try.
I would assume they probably go to the bottom, right?
Yes.
Okay.
And then you can either just pour it directly onto the soil.
Mm-hmm.
No more than a capful. So if you want to measure it, you can pour it into the cap first and then pour the cap.
No more than a capful per plant.
Yes. You shouldn't need more.
And is it okay that the substrate is only on half of the plant, or should I move it around?
They'll climb out and they'll move around.
You kind of see them squirming around.
Yeah, you can see them right there.
Okay, one more question, and then we're going to divide and conquer my wall.
Yep.
So with the lace wing larva, you're pouring those husks over the plant soil. When I go to water the plant the next time, like, do I have to wait a certain amount of time before I water?
Not really. I mean, we recommend waiting 24 hours just okay. to give the lace wing larva time to settle in. And the same with all of the other beneficials.
Okay.
So always good prep if you want to water your plants first, then apply the beneficials, and then you don't have to worry about it. But truly, if, you know, say you forget, you're rushing, you got your bugs, you've got to go out to dinner, whatever, you're just putting them on there, and then you're like, oh crap, like I need to water my plants. It's not the end of the world.
Okay.
You can water as soon as you need to, but always good to try to wait 24 to 48 hours if you can.
They can swim.
Yeah. I mean, they can't swim, but it's like a hard rain, right? So they'll be like, right. It's all wet, but they'll be fine.
Okay. And you can leave the husk substrate that they come in.
Yes.
Okay.
You will eventually want to take that substrate out. Within a week to 10 days, you can take it out. If you leave it there, it's, again, it's organic, so it's not going to hurt your plants, but it can grow mold, which is unsightly.
Okay.
So remove it if you can.
Okay. Got it. So let's divide and conquer. I will take the soil.
Yep.
You take the hang tags.
Yep.
You were saying one every four plants. So what do you think is the strategy? The soil, the substrate for the soil mites need to go on all of them.
Yep.
What are you thinking for bags?
Yep. And then I'll concentrate the sachets on the plants that we know were affected by plants or by pests.
Mm-hmm.
And then it'll be sort of one every three plants. So you'll see how I put them out. They'll be distributed pretty well.
Cool.
And then you can change them around daily, every other day, however often you want.
This was the best way to spend an afternoon.
Yes.
What a treat. Thank you for your time, for your education, for your bugs.
It's so much fun.
It's so much fun. This is so fascinating. I'm so excited about this. So we're done. We put 10 satchels.
Yep.
And then I went in and did the substrate.
Yep.
And now we will cut to my plant outside where we do a lace wing release because I'm a little too scared to do it in here. Okay. So lace wings.
Yep.
They're going to treat the most amount of houseplant pests.
Yep.
There's two different ways, like you said, to put them on.
Yep.
This with the substrate that we shake, like we did with the anthurium.
Yep.
And then this one, which feels a little more intimidating to me. So we're doing it outside because I'm a scaredy cat with my audience.
Yes.
How do we do it?
So this is called a hex cell, and it is a little more challenging to put on, but it is still fairly simple. So it is a cardboard hex, and you have the plastic film on either side. You just want to peel the film off. You kind of got to like really pull it. It's really glued on there.
Oh, yeah. It's really glued on there because each cell has lace wing in it.
Yep. So you want to peel it back just a bit at a time. You don't want to peel the whole plastic off at once because you do want to sort of keep some control over how you're applying it. So you see, I peeled it back a little bit, and then you're just going to sort of tip it over the plant and shake it, like hit the back of it, and then the lace wings will come out. Be careful as you keep peeling the film off because you will get some lace wings on the film and you don't want to crush them with your hand.
How many pots does this hex cell get you?
You can get pretty far with this. It depends on how bad your pest issue is. So if you have a lot of pests, it will treat less plants.
Okay.
But if you're using it preventatively, I have treated up to between 40 and 60 plants with just one hex cell.
So with one hex cell, then with one plant, you're taking a small peel,
yep.
doing it, then doing a new peel, doing yep. it in the next planter, new peel.
Exactly.
Now, because I have so many scales.
We're going to put a lot of lace wings on.
And are lace wings something where we also have to hit on the top of this plant, or we can put them all in the soil?
They can all go in the soil. Okay. They will move pretty easily,
okay.
and they're going to go find that scale. So
okay.
especially because you want to make as little of a mess as possible.
Yeah.
I try to keep the hex cell over the pot because if we start doing it up here, they're going to
fall.
And like we're outside, so that's good. But if you're in your bathroom or your living room, you don't want the lace wings kind of going everywhere.
Yeah, I see them running around. Look at that.
So they're already looking for that scale.
Yeah, they're hungry.
Yep. And you're going to do this on both sides. So you're going to peel the film off of both sides, shake it out. And then once that's all done, you can take the whole hex frame, just lay it in the pot overnight.
Really?
Any stragglers will kind of run out.
Wow.
You know, and by the next morning, you should be able to throw it out.
So I can take the rest of this into my lanai.
Yep.
Peel. And I could even just peel. And could I peel and leave it in a pot for a couple of hours?
Yep.
And then peel, put it in another pot,
mm-hmm.
peel.
Yeah, but you want to do it all on the same night. So if you peel and leave it for a couple hours,
okay.
you want to come back to it that same night.
Okay.
And then keep doing it. So you want the plastic to be completely off and the hex cell to be totally open before you go to sleep.
Okay, cool.
You know, a little more difficult, but still pretty straightforward.
Amazing. Yep. Jamie, this has been so fun. Check out our podcast. It's so informative. And check out DMV Beneficial. So where can everyone find you and DMV Beneficial?
Yep. So you can find me personally on Instagram at copper_lattice. But as I'm the co-founder of DMV Beneficials, you can also find me and my whole team at the DMV Beneficials Instagram. It's at DMV Beneficials. We also have a DMV Beneficials Facebook community on Facebook where you can go, you can chat with other people using Beneficial Instagram. Insects. You can get all of the pest ID and treatment recommendations you need. So join our Facebook community. And of course, also head to our website, www.dmbbeneficials.com. We have all the treatment plans. We have a damage dictionary, so you can get familiar with what different pest damage looks like. And you can also find a local chapter near you on our website. So if you are in many cities around the country, you can reach out directly to your DMB Beneficials chapter heads and order bugs through them.
And we have the Ultimate Houseplant Pest Guide. It's free to download, and DMV Beneficials partnered. It's a guide that I made that talks about general plant pest management, how to use systemics, how to use natural pest management. And you guys provided your insights on how to use beneficials for the top 6 houseplant pests. So you can grab that download for free. And also, I do just want to ask you one more question.
Yes.
You were saying that you guys do these bulk buys.
Yep.
So if anybody watching today might be interested in trying and doing this for themselves,
yep,
but they only need 10 sachets.
Exact.
Sachets.
Yep.
Sachets. They only need 10 sachets. They don't need, you know, so many. How would they go get bugs through you guys with those bulk orders?
Yeah. So what we organize group orders in cities around the country. You can find the list of our active chapters on our website at dmbbeneficials.com. And we have all of the contact information for the various chapters on the website. And you would just either join your local Facebook group. You can also reach out to our chapter heads through email. And you can get in on the group orders that way. And they'll help you get all the bugs that you need. Again, in the quantities that you need for your houseplants, I mean, also much cheaper than ordering from the suppliers.
Yes, because most people don't need the enormous box of bugs that showed up at my house with you today. This was so fun. Thank you so much. Definitely go check Jamie and DMV Beneficials out. What a great way to spend the afternoon. Thank you.
Thank you so much. It's been so fun to be here.
Yay.
Yes.
Okay, plant friends, that is the consult. I hope this translated orally for you. Like, I hope this was worth your time listening. I hope you go watch the video, but like, I don't know. I just felt like as I was interviewing Jamie on camera, I was like, there's so much good information that she's giving as we were going through with the microscope, as, you know, she was teaching me, that I felt like my listeners would also benefit from. And I know that some people only listen to the podcast and they don't follow me on socials or don't follow me on YouTube, where the majority of this content is going to get released. So I hope it helped you. Let me know. And also go throw me a subscribe on YouTube and throw me a subscribe on Growing Joy with Maria on Instagram and TikTok, because we will be releasing video short form versions of this consult to help educate and give you some visuals, because I definitely think with beneficial insects, a visual is helpful. Support Jamie wherever you can. Go give her a follow. If you want to buy bugs, go buy some beneficial insects from her. Like I said, when I move, I'm planning on doing the soil and sachet or satchel program just as a fresh start, because I'm probably also going to beef up my green wall again when I move, because some of my plants, I'm just going to like extend and kind of reimagine the green wall a little bit. So anyway, I hope this was fun. Let me know if you enjoyed it. Beneficial insects are so fascinating to me. So if you want me to have Jamie back on, also let me know. We can go back and do another nerdy interview that doesn't involve the video translation if you need. All right, my plant friends, I hope this helps you continue to, of course, stimulate your brain, grow your intellect, grow your curiosity, and most importantly, keep growing joy.
Plant friend, thank you for tuning in today. It means so much to me that I get to be part of your planty journey. If you like what you heard, make sure you're subscribed to the show so you never miss an episode. We have so many incredible interviews and solo episodes on incredible houseplant and gardening topics that you will not want to miss this year. And while you're over there in the podcast player subscribing, why don't you click over to the review section of Growing Joy with Plants and leave us a review? Reviews are tremendously helpful for the growth of the podcast, so thanks in advance. If you're looking for more opportunities to grow as a plant parent with Growing Joy content, we've got so many options for you. First, I highly recommend you taking the Plant Parent Personality Test. It's free. It's super fun. It takes 3 minutes to complete. At the end of the test, you're going to get your plant parent personality profile and a curated list of plants, projects, and podcast episodes that are right up your alley, tailored just for you and your lifestyle, inspired by your results. The links are in the show notes. If you're looking to uplevel your plant parent game, I have so many free downloads on my website that I think could help you, like the Understanding Natural Light download or 9 different ways to green up your office space. If you'd like to support the show monetarily and help me bring the show to as many people as possible for free, you can head to our Patreon link in the show notes to learn more about our offerings. And finally, I invite you to come hang out with me and continue the planty conversation on social media, on Instagram and TikTok. I'm Growing Joy with Maria. My DMs are always open if you have requests for topics or ideas for the show. Thank you again for listening. It is truly my honor and delight to help you keep blooming and keep growing joy.